Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Do-do-do-do. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gate. Let's love.
I just said, I swear to God.
I swear to God.
I swanny. Did you call people who said swanny? I swanny.
No, I
swanny.
Thing.
I swanny. Scott, you were messing my thing, Scott.
What?
This was something, a quote from a book.
A book.
Y'all. I wonder what she's doing now.
I don't know. What she's doing now is fucking up my car. Doing drugs in prison.
Yeah.
Doing makeup with a magazine. Y'all, you're wondering, what am I listening to? This is actually 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After.
Every time they listen, they wonder what
they
wonder. Listening to.
This is Reality Gaze. My name's Matt Maher, a.k.a. Maddie, and my co-host is Jake Anthony, a.k.a. Say it.
What? I was going to let you do it.
Poodle.
Poodle. Hello. Do we forget to introduce ourselves a lot?
Yeah, we need to do it more.
This is Reality Gaze.
It is. What I was going to say is, y'all, we were talking about Lalu, which is coming back in June, right?
Yeah, this
with
month.
All new. Like,
not this Friday, not this Friday, but I believe the next Friday, or maybe this Friday.
Which is it's all new couples.
I think it is this Friday.
Oh my God.
No, maybe it's the 18th. We're really terrible at this.
What? You know what?
Let me see.
Anyway, y'all.
I think it's the 18th.
Did you look it up, or did you just start to look on your phone and you got overwhelmed and you just guessed the 18th?
That one.
Please tell everybody about what Love After Lockup is.
If you don't know, it's on the Wii channel, and it is people who meet inmates who are in prison, and either they correspond with them, or sometimes they meet them, sometimes they marry them. Yeah. In prison.
Yep.
Like Chevelle and Quaylen. And then Love After Lockup details what they do when they get out. And sometimes they make it, like Brittany and why am I blanking on his name?
Brittany and
we're so bad. I should never have. It's a very original name. This like pyramid.
I can't
People
even
are
remember.
Screaming.
Brittany
People
and,
are screaming in there.
The one in Vegas, the blonde
Marcelino.
One?
Marcelino. There we Marcelino. Go.
But yes, they had a baby. And so y'all, it's cool. It's not the same producers as Reality or 90 Day Fiancé. It's not Matt Sharp, but it's still good TV. It's going to be on the, it's always, it's on the 8.
They've had more than one baby. They've had several children. You're thinking of...
Oh, Brittany and Marcelino.
You're thinking of Jess Daniels and...
Oh, and...
And he was back in jail for a while. I think he's out.
Yeah. Yes, Brittany, she just went back to school and all this kind of stuff. You know what? But this isn't that show. Sorry, we'll get distracted. But it's that good that we enjoy to talk about it. And it's coming out June 18th. And
that's what I did! I knew it!
And I was going to say, that's not this coming Friday, but next Friday.
Thank you for saying what I've just said about 3 minutes ago.
No, you said, Poodle, you said, I think it's coming out next Friday. I'm not sure. I think. You never let us know.
I was right. It's fine. Let's talk about the rest of the show.
Because how many times has a top said, I think I'm coming over at 10, and then it's 1:30 in the morning, and you're up, douched, ready, and eating Doritos, hoping somebody's hoping just having the door open. I don't want to be a teasing top. To our listeners.
That's one thing you'll never be.
Never be. Never be.
So,
anyway.
Y'all, we'll probably start that up. That's on our $8 Patreon tier. Love After Lockup is.
The first couple episodes will be on the free
feed. On our free feed, yeah.
Like Smothered is now. So be sure to listen to the first episode of Smothered. Christina made new art for our Smothered podcast. I didn't even ask her to
Kathy
do it.
Kathy and Christina.
It's great. Somebody said I look like Rick James. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
I still think my favorite thing that she did, Christina, is put our faces on the Aussie twins from Extreme Sisters.
That's
just my favorite artwork.
Oh, Extreme Sisters. Y'all, were recording this on Sunday. I cannot wait to watch it tonight.
I'm dreading it. I'm worried what else can happen. After Pang Pang last week.
Gonna get crazy. Crazy. Anyway, y'all, also a lot of new stuff. There's also 90 Day Foodie Call that came out on Discovery Plus a couple of weeks ago. A week ago. We're going to cover that on our Instagram. We're in the midst of, we filmed something. We're trying something new. We're getting it edited up now. It's taking a little bit. In a good way, because we want it to be good. So we're going to be doing every episode, hopefully by the end of this month. To see that, you're going to have to go to our Instagram, Reality Gays Podcast. And
if you're not following us, you should be.
You should be. And then we're going to put it on our stories. It's not a live. It's an actual story, real. You'll be able to see forever. So be sure to follow it. We're hoping that'll come out. Let's see.
Maybe the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Monday,
so there you
Tuesday.
Go.
Who knows? We're doing our best.
Anyway, so...
our charity for this week in the Sissy Squad.
This month.
This month.
Poodle and I are so fucking frazzled just because of life. And
I have a heart out today, which has got me frazzled, I will say.
And, well, I think you've been busy too, and you're kind of getting... You've got most of your stuff moved in, but you actually have you're 80% there. And that's a kind of a frustrating part of moving.
It's very frustrating.
Because there's all these little things. And it's when you're moving out and you've moved a couch and you've moved their TV, but you still have all the little knickknack shit you have to move. And so you're on that end of moving in. He's fixing all the knickknack shit. So anyway.
And things trying to get the right... God, trying to get a console table in real wood. Y'all don't send me stuff. You send me tons of tables.
Send Poodle stuff.
I appreciated that. But trying to get a table that's in real wood. I want real wood, not manufactured fucking wood.
I think you need a carpenter. You need to hire a hunky carpenter who just builds things for
you. Do you know how expensive they are?
But what if he rims your ass and takes you to fuck town?
You know what? I can get that for free.
But your only thing you're left with that is an STI, not a table that lasts forever.
That's a different way of looking at it.
Anyway, y'all.
I'll get tired of a table in 3 days.
We're in that space. I posted an article today about brain fog and shit like this. And I said, it was such a good article. And Poodle said, you posted that like 4 months ago. And I said, I don't even remember reading it the first time.
When I saw you had been, this is really ugly. Sorry, this big. I just moved this. If you're on the Intimate Portrait, you just saw me move a clip.
A clip. Anyway, y'all. So bear with us. We're trying.
We're trying.
If you're there too, it's okay. We hope that you can listen for the next hour or so. Turn everything off and have a good time.
Look at your problems. Come on, get happy. We're going to chase all your blues away. Come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Anyway.
Oh, I should shut my bathroom door. My dad's sleeping.
Okay,
and sometimes he says, Matt, sometimes when y'all scream like women, you wake me up.
And you know what? Tell him you're fucking taking care of his ass while you're doing a fucking podcast. He can suck it up and listen to us scream like a woman occasionally.
It's still fair though.
Maybe you could be less loud. While you're doing that, I will tell them about the charity. Our charity for this month in the Sissy Squad, you guys, is the Allie Forney Center, which is basically it's a center in New York that helps get homeless LGBT kids, which LGBTQ kids, help them kind of out of the harms of homelessness and give them the tools to move out of homelessness. It's a very worthy charity. We're very excited to raise money for. So if you're not in our Sissy Squad, you can still donate money to the Allie Forney Center. And that's Allie, A-L-I, Forney, F-O-R-N-E-Y.
It has a very personal significance to me, but you can listen to the first part of this episode where I talked about that. Okay. Can we do this, Poodle? I loved this episode, and you were like, I don't think I loved it. And then we started talking about it, and
I think it's happily ever after in general for me. I have to be convinced because I don't like any of these people. I like Jovi and Yara.
I do feel like there is a consensus that I don't read the boards too much and all that. You read more than me, but I do think
people are tired. The couples are tired.
I don't know. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe they had already like re-COVID these people. But I still say Mike and Natalie, Jovi, Yara, Brandon and Julia. We should have had a break from all these people. Like Angela, we had a break from.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of the same beat, but it's way more interesting than watching Mike and Natalie, except for this episode.
Or as I like to call it, when Natalie fucking loses it.
One, y'all, she blinked and lunacy happened.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was
wonderful.
This is just a Thanksgiving to remember. This Thanksgiving's called You're a Crazy Man, Charlie Brown. And who's that blonde bitch who's just giggling?
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. So it starts with Natalie kind of doing her trunk.
Okay.
Exercising her trunk. And this is my favorite response to a question. And they're like, what you doing, honey? She's like, exercising. I have a figure to maintain. I have no choice. I'm going to start answering that when people ask me when I'm dressed up to go to gym. They're like, oh, you're going out? I'm like, yes, I have the figure to maintain. I have no choice. I have no choice to do but to do it. Talk to strangers.
That's Let's Get Physical.
Oh.
Let's Get Physical.
Oh, it sounds like Dump Talk. No, I know Let's Get Physical. You remember we talked? Acast just said to us about maybe, maybe play, not with rights.
Don't play music that gets saved. We're just playing a little clip. Let's Get Physical is one of the songs that I knew I was, that part of me knew I was gay when I listened to that song and watched that video.
Why? Because it was all hot guys.
It was all hot guys, but also just that song, her voice, something about it like touched me. Like, did you, were you not, we, I was a pretty big Olivia Newton-John fan. Were you not?
No, not as a child.
Okay.
I feel like that was gays who may have been a little older than you who were really into her.
Usually, but because they were like Physical in high school. But
yeah,
Let's Get Physical. It was Tina Turner, but my other song that I used to love to sing on the three-wheelers was Let's Get Physical. I loved singing that when I drive in the three-wheelers in the field behind our house by the Jacksons. Yeah, not Let's, the Michaels, Debbie's.
Not Get Physical. You said Get you, but what did you say Tina Turner for?
Because I would drive around the three-wheeler, and usually I'd sing a Tina Turner song. I forgot what song it is. I'm blanking right now. But instead,
this is a mess.
If I didn't sing the, no, I've talked about this before. If I didn't sing the Tina, I would sing What Love Got to Do. And so if I wouldn't sing that, I'd sing, and my brother would say, stop singing that song. I would sing Let's Get Physical, which I don't think
helped. He was like, stop it, please.
Yeah, I like doing the physical. I like doing that move that they kind of did where they like, if you're watching The Intimate Portrait, which, by the way, The Intimate Portrait, that's on our $15 tier where you see the video of Poodle and I doing a podcast. But it's like where you move and you like, I just don't know how to, you know, I'm going to have to stand up to do this. I don't think there's any other way. Okay, it's kind of like where you move your hand this way and it's like, physical, and then they move their hips back.
We can only see your lower part of your body.
You can't? Okay.
We can only see.
This
is terrible.
Let's get physical.
I do remember that.
That was my favorite move. I don't know how to describe it. If you've witnessed and seen that, and you're a choreographer, I have two things to say. Yeah, we're sorry, and please translate that. Boy, I'm out of breath. I got physical.
Get
to move on.
Under the things of nothing I ever needed to know, under the category. So you guys, Natalie says they're doing. Sadly, they're still doing more stuff with firewood, and that's why I feel like this might have been an added scene that didn't make it to the edit on the firewood episode.
Probably, yeah, probably good call.
And so she's like, I feel like Trish is looking for my faults. And I wrote, yeah, she fucking is, because she fucking hates you.
Yeah, she hates you.
Mother-in-law.
And so they do the wood, and then and she says she's feeling, she says, again, y'all, she said this like twice, and it's not going to go well for her and Mike. When she says, I feel insulted by Trish and I need Mike to take up for me.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
He's a mama's boy.
And so, but Natalie says, who usually does this if you're not, this is not your job? And Trish goes, I usually don't do it all at once.
But Natalie gets salty. She says, yeah, it's like, why am I the one doing this? She's basically, y'all, Mike's mom, Butter, as we go back,
Butter,
refer to her. Butter is trying to be folksy and trying to be kind of like prickly and mom, you know, she's got a real mouth on her. She's funny and blah, blah, blah. Natalie doesn't understand that at all. She's like, but who does this, Trish? And she's like, because no one calls Trish on her shit.
No one called, and so, and then Natalie says, I'm so happy I'm handy for you.
This is the best. She's like, she laughs. I'm so happy I'm handy for you. I'm so happy I can be here to help you. I'm so happy I can help you.
Yeah,
this is when it starts to like break down, y'all.
This literally feels like, doesn't it feel like a descent into madness?
Yeah, it does.
Like, this is finally what's going to break her. Y'all, and we've said this like three times about Natalie, but this time it really feels like this is it.
Yeah. It does. And that, you know what? they are both responsible. Mike and Trish and Butter, they're the cause of this. Yes, she was close to lunacy, but no one has pushed her over the brink.
Nobody. And you know what? Oklahoma is the perfect place to lose your mind. I can speak from experience. And so
I'm afraid it's going to happen to me when I visit.
Mike is, there's a little outtake. This has nothing to do with the plot, but Mike is just describing ways to stack wood. Kind of like Bubba Gump describes fit.
You can put the wood on the side and you can stack it. And then you can put it on the other side.
Stack it. Now, if you get an uneven load, then you can cross stack it. And he's going on, and Natalie looks like she wants to jump out of her body.
So did I.
and so, anyway.
Did you notice this? This was so good. She was, she's like, so Natalie, when you're at home, you can learn to do this too.
You can be stacking wood at home, Natalie.
She's like, whoosh. I thought you wanted me to be interpreter.
Oh, Natalie.
And I wrote down, get her! Get Butter! Get her! Get her! Go for Butter's throat. I was actually telling, she said it in the nastiest way, too. Y'all, this is not going to turn out well for Natalie.
No.
There needs to be a sixth sense you have about mother-in-laws or mothers of your significant others. You don't want to attack them. They can throw little barbs out, but if you attack them right on, that's exactly what they want. Butter has been waiting for Natalie to flip. She's been hoping she would.
She said that. She's like, Mike doesn't want any confrontation. She said, even though I'd like there to be. She said that.
Yeah.
And because she knows once Natalie comes for her mother in front of Mike, he's going to choose her.
Yeah. In a second, and that will be what she needs to do to split them up. That will be a way. Y'all, this is all part of Butter's plan. This is exactly what she wants to do.
It's true.
The butcher shop, everything.
Everything. It's calculated. She's like Mother Debbie level of manipulation here. She knows what she's doing.
She does, but she's less... I think she's a lot more folksy. She's a lot more subtle about it than Debbie is.
Well, she's much more, even though I don't know where she's from originally, but there's almost like she's much more kind of also, folksy's a good, because it's not really passive aggressive.
No. I wrote down again, God, I hate it that I have to defend Natalie, how horrible they're being to Natalie.
It's horrible. Horrible, horrible.
If in the beginning of last season, remember how there was a thing where Natalie coming and telling him that he's fat and blah and dumb and all that kind of stuff. And we were very hard on her. And then through as the season went on, we're all like, Mike's a piece of shit. Both of them are bad. Y'all, this is Natalie's season to kind of be the one who's trying. Or trying not to go crazy. Y'all, they are pushing her to the brink. And this episode, she blinks.
And she blinks.
It is time.
One eye blink away from lunacy. She blinks. We're going to get this. So it's Thanksgiving Day. It's already starting where.
You know what's been playing? If it was Thanksgiving Day in my house, what music will be playing?
Julie Andrews'
Christmas album. That's how you know you're gay.
Yeah.
If you know your son really wants to hear the Julie Andrews Christmas album
or the Barbra Streisand Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell,
such a great album. We just watched Victor Victoria in the Watch and Chat. Speaking of Julie Andrews, it was wonderful.
And
I forgot how racy that movie was.
Yes.
When I said we actually did a number for a cabaret once called Le Jazz Hot. I think it's somewhere in the cabaret annals. Of history.
Somewhere in the annals of history. So Trish, it's Thanksgiving Day. Natalie is going to make her borscht. And
borscht. She keeps saying, she's like, pardon?
Borscht.
Borscht.
Borscht. What?
Borscht.
Say it again.
Slowly. Borscht.
But,
are you barking at me like a dog, honey? You got to tell me.
There's too much styrofoam in your lips. Say it again.
Y'all, I thought people have heard of borscht. It is a very,
yeah, I've heard of borscht.
Very commonly, it's a common Eastern European soup made with beets. It's the most common, like it's like if you have Russian food or Ukrainian food, that is like one of their big things is borscht. It's beet soup with sour cream usually.
So Trish says, Trish is like, well, Natalie, we went down to Farmer's Market on I-72 and they didn't have a celery root. So we got your parsnips. It's the same thing.
And I will say it is close, but I think she was thinking it was parsley or something. There was a language issue there.
Natalie's like, what?
She flipped out.
I cannot cook with this. Which, and now that I've been in grocery stores in Oklahoma and seen the food deserts,
Celery root.
There is not celery root.
Also called celeriac.
Yes, they do not have celery in fucking whatever Piedmont, Oklahoma, or wherever Mike's mom lives.
And so she's kind of losing it because she can't make her Ukrainian dish. And then
Pontok, that's where I think she lives. Pontok, Oklahoma.
I don't believe that's a real place. I guess these are all native names. They all just sound made up to me.
Well, there's Pontiac.
Well, that's definitely a native name.
No, is it Patoka? What is it?
Let me move on while you're looking up Oklahoma fucking town names again. God, I hate it. Butter is like, so for dinner, it's going to be me, you, and my roommate, Ron. And we're all like, okay, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
How did he say Ron?
Who the fuck is Ron?
Ron. Ron is her roommate, y'all.
Ron is her roommate. And Ponca City, that's it. I think she lives by Ponca City. There we go. It's in like North Central.
That sounds made up. No, it really does.
Ponca City. So yeah, so we meet Ron. And Ron is, I don't know, I think Ron used to work at like KICM. And then he like, I don't, because he walks in.
What's
he's
that?
Like, radio
I should
station.
Never have asked that.
It's a radio station.
KICM. Got it.
Yeah, KI. Or I just, but anyway, he, KYNZ.
He kind of has a storytelling voice. Like,
hey,
you're going to expect him to say, you know the one about the two brothers who went down to the river.
Yeah. You see these cargo shorts? I got stories in these shorts. Stories and stories.
But everything has import. Like every is like, oh, I'm so glad we get to have dinner. Natalie, it is wonderful you are here. Can you tell me about your hair?
Okay. So this is what I want to say. What person Trish's age has just a roommate? That's of a different sex.
It's her fuck buddy.
It's her boyfriend, but she probably doesn't want to call him that.
Exactly.
So it's her roommate, which I think is a little dismissive. I'm just judging her. Also,
I think it's because she's on television and she doesn't want to say that. I think she's on television.
Well, here's my theory. And this is taking a page from Extreme Sisters that you thought of. Is Ron friends with Jill from Extreme Sisters? And he... And when we don't think Jill is Brooke and Bailey's mother. We think she was hired.
No, she is a character actress from Oklahoma City.
We think that Guthrie
fronted in.
Guthrie Casting called her and got Jill. And I bet you.
She has played the Bird Woman in Mary Poppins 4 times.
And I'm telling
you. Still unrecognized by the Oklahoma City theater critics.
I'm telling you now, Ron is a fixture in the Bartlesville community theater scene.
I get you that.
And that Bartlesville Casting sent him in. Y'all, he has played the Farmer Ike in Oklahoma 23 years in a row in Tulsa's Outdoor Oklahoma Theater.
As well as, who are the con men in Big River?
Yes. Well, you daggum government.
My dad, he was Huck Finn's. He was Pap.
Yeah. When my dad saw that show, he loved that government song so much.
You know, that song is written to be make him an unlikable character.
Not my dad. He was like, boy, that guy who hated the government, he was great.
I really liked him. Wasn't it so good when he tried to beat his son near the end? But
yeah, you know as well. Big River's actually good. You know what you actually would see?
He spends the entire musical hunting for his son.
It's horrible. When we do the Oklahoma tour of Ardmore, if we do a live, we should try to, you would actually like it. They do an outdoor Oklahoma up by Tulsa with like horses and carriages and everything. And it's pretty
I'd impressive. Have problems with it.
You know, why can't you just have fun?
No, I'd have problems with, I'm sure I enjoy the spectacle of it. I think that show has to be really carefully directed.
You know what? I'll take some sissies. We'll go on a group trip and you can get drunk in Oklahoma City and go to Angles and get fucked.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. So anyway, y'all.
Walk out.
But I think I totally think Ron is casting because he's there just to ask questions to kind of move the plot along. Otherwise, no one would be talking at this Thanksgiving lunch.
You know what?
Lunch.
That's a good point. I think you might have something there.
Well, I got it from you.
So she's making they're in the kitchen together and
Natalie she's stirring gravy and she says, Natalie, can you just, she put cornstarch in the gravy and she hands the cup to Natalie. She's like, could you rinse this out?
With some water in it.
Put some water, rinse it out.
And she rinses it and she's like, first of all, she's like, I'm sorry.
Rinse it, honey. Rinse it. You know what that means? Rinse.
She takes it and hands it back to her. She's like, no, I meant for you to.
Honey,
I'm just laughing at you to make you feel crazy again.
Natalie, I don't need that. I just and gave it to you one.
The fuck out of you. But like, you're going to be like Marnie from Hitchcock by the end of this.
And then Natalie goes, okay.
I need to also say what Mike came in and said, oh, my two favorite women cooking in the kitchen. You know, he's jerked off to this image of this woman like barefoot and pregnant and cooking.
Yeah. And his mother handed him butter to stroke his dick with. Here you go, son.
My favorite thing. He basically says, she's like, Michael, do not. And he's like, Michael, do not touch my pussy when I am cooking. I think that's
Did
what she said.
No, I think she said ass.
It was a five-letter word they blocked out.
Was it pussy?
I think it was pussy.
He said pussy, or she said pussy in front
I
of
think
his mother?
She said pussy in front of his mother. Unless they were just choosing the words to block out. They
work for TLC.
You can say ass on television.
If you work for TLC, let us know if it was pussy.
But think about it. You can say ass.
It's true.
So
true.
I think it was pussy. I think it was pussy that she said.
Maybe she said like it in Ukraine. I don't know.
But all I know is that his mother didn't even say anything. His mother was like, oh my God, she just said the word pussy in front of me.
And Natalie's, this is incredible Thanksgiving for me.
Thanksgiving.
I mean, I felt so sorry for her, y'all, but this was one of the best things I've ever seen on this show.
It was a lot.
So they're eating the soup and they're eating the borscht. Everybody's notice Ron says it's very good. Mike says it's great.
Instead of telling them about this, I think we should go ahead and do another installment of Reality Gaze Theater. I thought you were gonna say something at the end.
I gargled my water. Oh, I gargled my water.
God.
No, I made a choice.
Nothing you for can, consistency.
You know, you can support my choice. You don't say no. First rule of improv.
You know what? If I didn't say no, we wouldn't have a show.
If they would kick Poodle out of improv class the first day, if someone be like, hey, it's so great being in this Walmart.
I did it in college.
Okay.
It's still going to say that again. You'd be like, hey, here's what I will say.
It's good to see you in Walmart.
We're not in Walmart.
And by the way,
we're in Target.
Improv, first of all, opera improv doesn't count.
Oh, I didn't do opera. I did real improv.
And deciding which dick to suck off first in the middle of the football team is not improv.
Yes, and. Yes, and.
And. Okay. And so picture it. They're eating dinner. Poodle's going to be playing the role of, you know, you can do Natalie with any words you want to add from Mike, and I will play Trish with any words needed to be added from Ron.
All right. Sounds good.
Look at us. We're playing dual characters.
It's like Kaylee Mills. So anyway, we are starting out.
And they're eating food, and Ron says, oh, this soup's very good. Very good.
Thank you. Well, it would have been better, but it is cold now, and you took so long to get to the table.
It's fine. I'm not gonna talk about it anyway.
What? What was that?
Nothing.
What was that?
Nothing. Did say anything.
I got zero fucks left to lose, lady.
So how long have you two been married to each other? You're married, you know.
You know,
to each other. Maybe they were married before. Maybe you should ask them.
fucking bitch.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I'm so... Oh, divorce is funny. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
It's, you know what? I wish that you would just talk to me, and sometimes it is hard to stay together. And we're doing our best.
Well, what about this baby thing? Where are y'all at with the whole baby thing? Man, do you think you want to have any? I mean, because, well, you're getting up there. You're getting old.
Yes.
It's like, I bet it's like cobwebs in there. Like the Oklahoma wind just swings down and blows up in there.
You know what? I think I need to have my own career before I have Bibi. I need to make sure I can support baby, because I cannot be a single mom like someone else I know.
I'm sorry, what?
This is incredible Thanksgiving!
Are you pulling my chain? Are you pulling my chain?
I don't know what that means. Festive gravy.
And scene.
Y'all, this is so tense. Like, I was so uncomfortable.
I held my breath. I kind of want to watch it again.
When, y'all, this is the thing. Natalie threw some barbs back to Butter. You're not going to fuck with her. She will completely try to humiliate you.
Butter which is will what try she to humiliate was, her. Yes.
Which is what she basically did to Natalie, saying, which you're old. You're getting up there.
What a shitty thing to do.
But I think she was being so folksy about it that she could kind of have the appearance of not being mean to Mike.
I guess it is a bit of a passive aggressiveness in that she says things. Butter is one of those people who says things and goes, oh, what do you think? You're a piece of shit. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. We also forgot right before Mike went outside and she came back
in. I forgot to write this down because everything else.
And said, she was just kind of, she's like, why your mom calling you hooker?
What? What was that, babe?
She's like, your mother. She called me hooker.
She did not call you hooker. Now she watched TJ Hooker. That was her. God, she loved that man. Maybe she was talking about TJ.
This is the thing. I don't believe Butter would ever call her a hooker, but she might have said, why are you wearing those hooker heels? Or something like that. Natalie, of course, took that as I'm a hooker since I'm wearing hooker heels.
Yes.
And, oh, God. Good luck unpacking this one. Yikes.
Y'all.
Yikes, motherfucking yikes.
Trish does say in the testimony, she's like, I think the biggest problem is how she acts in the relationship. She's a child, and let's be honest, they're not good for one another.
She's right. Butter's right.
Butter's right. But Mike acts like, in a different way, a child as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Doesn't take responsibility for anything.
Because, and you know what? We can thank Butter for that.
We can thank Butter for
giving Mike the tools he's needed.
Like a big stick of butter. Anyway, let's move. I'm done with them.
We should move on, but before that.
No, we're going to do Brandon and Julia, and then we're going to take a commercial. We just talked about this.
I was looking at the length, and I thought it was getting a little long.
It is, but we got to do Brandon and Julia, and we got Andre and Libby. And
someone's a real stickler for rules.
And then we've got Kalani and Asuelu.
Fine! You know,
just because you need a snack, you can talk for seven more minutes.
No, I need to pee.
Well, do you want to go pee?
No, it's fine.
Let's talk about Brandon and Julia.
Y'all, they are talking. This is such a non-important storyline. Their whole season has been a snore for me. Although last week with her freaking out about that was 2 weeks ago, right?
2 weeks ago with a friend, yes. This is they're going out to port. They're sitting on the, all I wanna do is sit up here on the front porch with you.
No idea what you're saying.
Oh, you know what? That's from Summer Magic. You have not seen that movie. You're going to watch Hayley Mills. And we're not doing it as a watch along. You have to watch that with Sissy and me.
How does this just like roll off your tongue that you've seen it so many times?
So many times. It's Burl Ives. Anyway, y'all. So they're going out on the front porch. And Brandon's like, well, we got a letter.
You've got mail.
You've got mail. And so, and y'all, they open it and it's confusing. Like, did they make
this really
up?
A green card? I think it's a provisional green card that you get that says you can travel. And of course,
and she can work.
Mom doesn't understand. She's like, what? Why is it green? Why is it green?
That is great. And then.
You're a real person now, Julia. You're a real person, not some gross foreigner.
You know, I will say
they're so awful, but they're the only thing enjoyable about
the only thing enjoyable. And they are supportive of Brandon. And as someone, they really have come around to, like, I think watching them, I think they really do love Julia now. And I think a lot of this is manufactured because I actually think they get along well.
I think it was from the beginning. Yeah.
I think that's pretty great, though, that his parents seem that supportive. Now, I will say. Y'all, Mama Betty is drinking a big ass glass of wine.
I wrote this down too. This is a Stephanie level pour.
This is
like sip. Is that my favorite wine behind you?
Yes, it is. So they're drinking a glass of wine.
Keep going.
And I just want to say, this it's maybe not a scene, a reality scene. However. Betty is over there drinking her wine, and she just says,
you know what would be great, you guys? Be great if we have another celebration. You know, everybody wants to party. Let's just party.
You didn't have a first dance.
You didn't get to fuck your husband in the bathroom while his mom was looking for him because she was an overbearing mother-in-law that I had to live with. Excuse me. Anyway.
What? Like, and you know what? We still, when we hear that song, we still think about that song. That was their first dance. You didn't have one of those. Do you know
Every time we hear YMCA, we fall in love again.
I was going to say locomotion.
Come
at us. Y'all come at us. What weddings have you been that have had horrible wedding songs?
Oh, well, you know that when I always talk about the father of the bride and the daughter dance, when they do butterfly kisses, I always find it.
I know, but has anybody been to weddings? But where it's that like, makes it.
You're totally, right.
It makes no sense of why this is their, like,
what?
Their wedding song is like, whoop, there it is. Like, it just makes no sense.
I went to one and I couldn't understand it. Where the wedding song was "Lady Is a Tramp" by Tony Bennett.
Wow,
it was weird. It's like, I don't get hungry at dinner. I'm like, how does this have anything? That's why the lady is a tramp.
Are you calling your wife a whore?
Well, the song isn't really about that.
No.
I think they just like the style. I don't think they put any thought into it.
Some people don't. You and I put way more thought into music in our weddings, but when we have them.
But like, it's like normal to do something like God Bless the Broken Road. I've heard that 1,000 times. But
I've sung that 1,000 times. I'm sure you have too.
Yeah. If you're a wedding singer or a wedding musician, you know that song without even looking at music.
It's a pretty
song.
And it's
song. Not that it's a bad song.
It's pretty. I just heard it today on Instagram. Just at a wedding. It was a bride and a groom dancing. And it was this.
Just know that if you think it is a good choice for you, if you're like me and like an Enneagram 4 and you like to be unique, everyone in the world has that song at their wedding. Literally everyone at the world, even people who don't know the song, it's like required in Switzerland.
It's either that or that George Strait song, "I Cross My Heart." Or,
I don't know that one. I think that might have been Oklahoma.
No, that was a big song. You know that song. In all the world, you'll never find a love as true as mine.
It was very popular.
Also, Etta James "At Last." Everybody has that song.
Everyone does that one too.
Everybody has that song. But
which is fine. It's a good thing. I'm just saying, I don't mind. If you're one of the, you know what I really love? I really love that song.
It depends on what you want. There's several songs that I would want played at my wedding that are very common songs. And I'm not going
to. Basic!
And I'm not going to tell Poodle that ever until he just hears them at the wedding. Because
I'll go interrupt the DJ.
But one of the reasons is because I don't want to pick a song that I very rarely hear. I want to be out and about and I hear the song and it makes me think of my wedding and the fun we had and da 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 da. So, whatever.
No, you want to pick a song but you also want to pick a song that's super relevant to you.
Yes, 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 yes. Agreed.
So,
Drunk Betty is ready for a wedding, y'all. And
like, no, we had a wedding. It's fine.
And Julia's like, I want to work. Like, we did the wedding. It's fine. So I thought, wait a minute. So you're telling me that you were a go-go dancer and a club kid, and you don't want to have another party about your wedding thrown for you for free?
I think this was a little far-fetched, too. I think it's mostly because Julia immediately thought this is so that they won't leave the farm. And Brandon just like hates everything.
Well, that is true. Julia's like, we're going to spend money on this and not leave the farm. And so then Betty says, Wait a minute. Ron's turning 70 and we're going to have.
What do you mean 70?
Oh, Ron. Ron, that's a 70 year old dick. 70 year old dick, but it's a 50 year old ass. Oh, anyway, so she says, we'll do something. And they're like, no.
Can we make a toast at the party? So, and they want to make a toast. And then you guys, of course, they're going to do something. And
this is a total setup, and I'm ready to see it, actually.
I think it's such a stupid thing that Brandon and Julia would not want them to do a toast to their wedding. It's so fucking small and menial not to want the parents to mention it at the party.
Well, let them have some. They're proud of you. Let them celebrate you. Again, your wedding's not just about you and getting married. It's about your guest, but whatever.
That is really true. I wish people thought of that more.
They don't. I've been to enough. Okay, now you can go pee, everybody. We'll see you when Poodle gets back from the loo.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist? About me.
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
And now, time for another installment of The Tears of Kalani.
Y'all, it doesn't get better. You know how that campaign, you know how they had the It Gets Better campaign?
So gay kids wouldn't kill themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be part of me. This sounds awful, but I always wanted to say, let's be realistic here, y'all. It does get better, but instead of gets better, can we just say it gets tolerable?
No.
Your life is not going to be spectacular. It is going to get better.
Okay, but this is why you never do inspirational or public speaking, and you never will. This is not...
don't want to blow smoke up gay kids' asses.
This is not where you live.
This is your future. This yep. is it. Bitter and sitting here on microphone.
Yeah. I think someone needs to do their Peloton, maybe. By the way...
I'm very grateful for what I have, but like, I love the idea of that. I'm just saying, let's be realistic.
I think you're wrong, and I think we need to move on. I think you're way wrong.
But you think it's okay to tell kids, like, sure, you're going to be great. It's going to be great when you grow up.
I think it's telling them it's going to be better. They need to see a hopeful circumstance.
Better is different than great.
But the
I understand what you're saying.
It gets better. I think that...
I'm just saying, let's reel it in a little bit.
Again, you're wrong.
But don't you see my point, though?
No.
But I'm saying painting a future.
I think you're looking at something as an adult and not through the eyes of a kid.
Oh, I totally am. And that I'm being more funny about this, and you're not getting it.
No, I laugh. Uh-oh. No, that's why it's like, no, I know you're not serious about
it. I'm just saying that the reality of it is, you guys, it does get better, but it's like what we were promised as kids growing up in the 80s. If you went to college, you got a job. It's not that I worry about doing this for kids. I think the kids who are problematic, who are living their lives in hell for right now, yes, it does get a lot better. I'm just saying, let's have a little bit of a reality check for everything around us.
I mean, I agree with it's good to live in reality, but I just think not for in a campaign, not in that moment.
No, you're exactly right.
But I feel like I agree with you that we've talked about this. It's like the word happy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is that puts up false expectations that people can never achieve.
Right.
And something they did better with the It Gets Better is they had a lot of queer people that look different, and they were all different because so many before gay have we seen in the past prior to that. You see a lot of gay campaigns that's just like beautiful gay white men with abs.
Yeah,
that did not make me feel better because right. that seemed completely unattainable to me.
I'm saying
so I agree with you.
There was one campaign that there's one I don't remember who it says. So things get better. He's like not at least like my life isn't perfect. He's like, but I'm better. I guess I'm saying. I want some nuance. I want some nuance in campaigns. Maybe there's no room for that.
Well, I think in the stories people told that, you know, like if you ever watched Tim Gunn's, his was fantastic.
Oh, that was good.
His was great because Tim Gunn was suicidal and talked about right. that. And so I think just when you're working, just having an experience of working with a lot of suicidal people, when you're in this state of suicidality, a lot of times things are black and white.
No, I totally get it.
But no, I'm saying there's just so when you're working though with them, you don't talk about gray areas because gray areas can feel overwhelming or confusing. So, and that's what that was targeted towards for gay youth who were feeling suicidal. So
right.
when you're feeling that, it is saying like it's bad now, it will be better. You kind of have to put it in those kind of
it
binary
better.
Concepts.
Yeah, but I
anyway.
Think better is
where are we?
Better is different than great.
Well, the campaign wasn't called It Gets Great.
I agree with you. It's something I see. I also see it with just younger members of LGBT community.
Well, yeah, when you're young, you think life's going to be great. You haven't gotten fucked and left in a hotel room and someone stole your wallet.
Boy, I told you that in confidence.
I'm just saying. I mean, like, Poodle, are you forgetting what it's like when you're – when you were different? You were way more – you just saw the world a little bit more differently. A lot of 20-year-olds are like, hey, Anyway.
No, I think I was, I think I
we
was.
We need to move on. You I have a heart 70, out.
I was 75 at 13.
Yeah. And so that's why I think like you're not the person to do that campaign. Or
I'm not. And I would never have like responded that. To it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
move on to Kalani and Swelu. For her, y'all, it's not going to get
better.
Poodle
needed a campaign that said, you're going to grow up and you're going to be so moody and you're going to be in your place and you're going to hear sounds and they're going to drive you crazy and you're going to wonder, what's that sound? And you're going to realize that you're going to go on an app and you're going to have a guy with a tennis chick come over and fuck you until you can't think straight. And then you're going to feel a little bit better. And Poodle
and
would
then
have gone,
at 4 a.m., you're going to wake up and say, what's that motherfucking sound?
And Poodle would have said, okay, I can do this.
That's something I can get behind. Or get in front of. Oh.
So Kalani and Sway. So now, but this was a. Now, they did have a. Y'all, they had a car accident. Swaylu was in a car accident.
Yeah.
And Kalani said, how do you feel about the accident? He got into an accident a few days ago. He told the car, they showed the pictures. It did look scary. He was like basically T-boned. And yeah. Kalani's right. I think a lot of people that die in accidents where they're T-boned.
And
in
if
cars.
You have an accident, you know you're afraid of driving again for a while. So I completely understood him. He was still shaken up.
Yes, he was still shaken up. And Kalani starts crying because she said, hearing the panic and terror in his voice, it scared me so much. And that in a couple of seconds, I could have lost him. And it made me realize I don't want to lose him. Ugh. I don't want him out of my life. And, you know, Kalani said this and Kalimi went, motherfucker. God damn it, sister.
I kind of did, too, because this is all that she needs is something traumatic to actually snap her back into battle mode, because that's what she's been living in. She's been living in battle mode since she has had those kids, y'all.
Yeah,
she's because she knew when she got pregnant with the first kid, this is going to be a hard slog. And life with him was even worse.
Yeah.
And then when she had that, she knew she was pregnant with that second kid, something in her resigned that said, I guess this is what it is. And then she'd had periods where she'd wake up and then periods where it'd get really bad. And I thought since she'd gone to see a lawyer, she'd gone to do this. I thought this might snap her out of it, but she's back in it, unfortunately.
Yeah, this really kind of put her back into it. Yeah. So, but Swelu says he feels the same way, that he wants to be better. It kind of snapped him out of, so maybe he will act better and spend more time with his family and kids.
Bullshit.
So they decide to go to Fiesta Fun. What? Yeah, putt-putt. Poodle gets very competitive in putt-putt, y'all. Just so you know.
I went on a date to putt-putt once.
Bad idea.
Don't recommend it.
Not for Poodle. So, hey, Jake, would you like to go out with again? Yeah, you know, I thought about it, but you cheated on hole 7, and I just can't be with somebody who cheated.
No, you know the worst thing about it was I was destroying him. I was destroying him. And then he kind of like started playing around. He's like, no, I just want to have fun. And I'm like, no, let's finish the game. I want to revel in my complete annihilation of you on this putt-putt course.
Y'all,
he was not trying anymore. And I got so mad.
Poodle hates it when y'all are playing tug of the war. And if you decide to drop the rope, it really infuriates
him. I'll bite off your fucking head.
I know because I've done it. It's my go-to move.
I hate it, too. I know when you do it. I don't like it.
I still do it. But so it's way. So they're going to, and they sit down and talk. And basically, Swaley Chester says, look, I want to take you on. I want to go on a romantic trip, just you and me, for 2 or 3 days. A beautiful place. And he's like, we could get in. He is funny. He's like, you can get in the hot tub. You can blow some bubbles down there, which I guess means give him a blowjob.
I think that's what he means.
But he says, this seemed really weird the way he described it, but did you think it was beautiful kind of when he said, I just want to cuddle and share our energy from our blood to our bones to our marriage? I thought that was kind of sweet.
It was in a really bizarre way.
In a bizarre, kind of like when Angelina Jolie and what's his name?
Billy Bob Thornton.
And both wore a vial of each other's blood. You're like,
weird.
That's sweet.
Sweet?
That's sweet.
She says, how about this, though? What if my mom could come and she would babysit while we'd be around?
Because she's still breastfeeding.
Yeah.
So that would be a lot, to try to do all that. And dinner. And so I was like, okay, well,
as long as she's asleep in our room. He's like, no, she's not going to do that.
He's like, good, because I want to eat some dinner and have some pussycat.
I want to eat some pussycat. The second time the word pussy's been said on this show.
It's true.
But he got away with it.
Kalani appreciates that they're working on their relationship, and that's all I have for them. It's very short.
It's very short. I still, y'all, this is still a long, dark hallway.
The ball's going to drop. The ball's going to drop.
Oh,
speaking of the ball dropping, y'all, when a family chuck went out on sale, they...
There's Andre and Libby too. There's Charlie and his slutty looking wife.
There's Becky.
And there's also Mrs. Becky. There's Becky's husband. Dun-ba-dun, and Jen the whore are there on Libby's boat.
Chucky's boat.
Chucky's boat, yeah.
Good job, Chucky's Poodle. So they're going on, they're basically going on this property.
No, but before that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Andre goes to Chuck, this is masterful manipulation, you guys. Andre's part. Now, you also need to know, people were kind of taken aback about this and were surprised Andre would do it. I'm not at all. He's very transactional.
Yeah, not at all. Y'all,
he could not give a shit about her family. He doesn't like the whole family.
No.
He's just playing like he does so he can get that loan. He does love his family.
He wouldn't go away from the family because he knows Libby loves her family.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that to her. But y'all, if he could convince Libby to move to fucking California or away from them in Florida, he would.
Yeah. And Chuck doesn't like that because in a way, having all of his family around them himself
You work for him.
You work for him, and you always feel needed. And that's what Chuck needs from his family. He needs to be the person they come to. So in a way, he can have a little power over them.
Yes.
Andre's going to see Chuck, and Chuck's like, what are you doing? Andre's like, what are you doing? And he's like, pulls his computer down. I'm like, you know, bitch was looking at porn right before that. It looks like, oh, fine. Just sitting here twiddling my thumbs.
Sitting doing some emails. I'm not watching I'm not getting a woman.
Asian sluts.
Watching a woman being injected with Mountain Dew in a vagina at all.
Wow. That's niche.
Best way to drink it.
So he basically says,
he's like, look, Chuck. Libby and I had a meeting, and we have to
work.
I may get deported. And if I get deported,
don't need to work.
Then Libby's coming back with me and Ellie to Moldova.
Libby's going with me to Moldova.
And when he said that, the color drained from Chuck's face.
Yep. Genius move on Andre's part. Genius move. Although our immigration lawyer, Sissy, said this is way overreach.
But maybe they're not telling him that. And because y'all, and we see this later on the boat, why all the animosity is. Libby is Chuck's favorite child.
Oh, yeah.
It's very clear. And the other siblings are so jealous of Libby that Chuck has always been her favorite and that he will do anything for her.
She's Chuck's favorite.
Yes. And so probably she's her favorite. And probably guess who's his favorite grandchild? Libby. Yep. Probably their kid. So Andre knows he has that power. And so
he just got his way.
So he got his way. So Chuck relented and said, you know what?
You'll work with me.
You'll work just with me. You're not going to work with any of the kids. They're assholes. He didn't say they're assholes, but they are.
They are assholes.
You'll work with me, and that'll be that.
And the next thing, we're on a boat, y'all. He's invited them all on. He called it a yacht party.
This he did.
No yacht.
Not a yacht, y'all. It's just by a boat.
By a long shot. This is a boat.
This is a boat. And so they're on the boat. And
the Andre's flowered shirt, I want to know where he got it because I think it is cute as hell.
He looks very cute. Becky's like, ooh, daddy, I love the snack platters. Mm, they look so delicious. Y'all, these are fucking
Ralph's.
Veggie tray from fucking Ralph's that you just put out and take off the top. This is not fancy. It just shows how much this family kisses his ass.
Those kids are, that family is such
They are
garbage.
So far up his ass. I'm sure there's like a lemmings colony or something like snorks, but instead of water, it's just in Chuck's shit up there.
I followed that metaphor, but it took me a while. What monstrosity was Jen wearing with that kind of bathing suit cover up?
It made no sense.
It looked like no she sense. Took fabric across her, but it was very metallic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Libby was kind of wearing a cover up too, but no one was going swimming.
No one was going swimming. They were all just there to fight. And so Chuck tells him, he's like, look, I just want the family to get together. I would love to have a family reunion in Maryland. Something we could do for Pappy. Pappy's going to be 86.
I think they kept saying happy, but I think they meant Pappy.
Pappy. And Libby, I appreciate Libby saying, this is great to do in a pandemic, Dad. And said
so
Chuck.
Pappy, y'all. Yeah, Pappy's going to be, I guess that's his father. Pappy's
yes.
his father.
And Chuck decides that they should rent an RV that will fit all of them together. And then drive up all just in one like little bubble.
That
little.
Sounds like an absolute nightmare from the pit of hell.
I'm here to watch it. I would love to watch that.
I would never want to do that
but
with
I would,
anybody.
I would love to watch it.
Yeah, I would not. You're right. I would like to watch it. But the idea of me being
even,
with.
You wouldn't even do that with Ian Somerhalder.
No.
Like no one.
No, no. I want to say that the way everyone's dressed, it's like Charlie and his wife got a different invitation. I think he's got a white shirt on with a sweater wrapped around his neck.
I thought
they were going to a different party.
I think they were doing probably some role play for her OnlyFans.
Got it.
And they just left. And so they just left work. They were playing rich white people and he probably fucked her on a tennis court.
Called her Muffy. Yeah.
Called her Muffy. Mm-hmm. She said, instructor, this is my first lesson. That
she
kind of
has,
shit.
She like he, like him, she also has a very punchable face.
She does.
His
and
wife.
Really terrible dyed hair. it's just like straw on her head, y'all.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Anyway, by the way, we saw in the news today, by the way, you know, we blame Chuck for this family being horrible. I have to say, I think the mother is included as well.
Oh, you know that they're not married anymore. But
they're not married anymore.
Mom has a new husband.
Look, I'm all about, and there's queer people that are religious and all, and that's great. But the mom went online during Pride to make a specific post saying that the rainbow
doesn't belong to LGBT people.
It's not about that. It's about God's promise and Noah's Ark. And it is about God's promise and Noah's Ark. Guess what? It can be both things. It doesn't have to be something you have control over, you stupid white bitch.
Kind of like
she
how
suck it.
The Cherokee people thought the sky was an enormous black cat showing up. It can be that to them, and it can also be outer space to me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be a cat, and I'm okay with them thinking it's that's how it was, that's how the sky was born.
Sure.
Was it a cat, or I can't remember. Someone
I don't
told
remember.
Me once.
I don't remember. I don't know.
It was some, and the cat, that's the Milky Way was born. through the trails that some animal left.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I'm saying it wrong.
Maybe I love all that kind of stuff, like what people use to explain the stars in science. I love that.
Me too.
Like the sun god Ra and all that Egyptian shit. It's great.
So yeah, things can be different things to people.
Things can be different.
But yeah, she was super, and she was saying things like,
it wasn't a pro Noah's Ark rainbow. It was an anti-LGBT.
It was an anti-post. Yeah, post.
To say that she's against gay people. And guess what, Mom? We're against you. You can go fuck yourself.
I don't know why people choose to do stuff, because it's just going to be negative.
But it just shows a woman like that, I'm sure, raised great kids, and now we're seeing it.
No, you're right. No,
what a piece of shit family. Speaking of, let's get to how much they really love each other. So, y'all, they're talking about the RV and stuff like that. And finally, Andre says in the testimony, he's like, I don't want to do this, but this is a good way to build
relationship.
And then Charlie's like, you want to spend 2 days with the guy who's taking advantage of you?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And Libby finally becomes the Libby we wanted all a fucking
long. She's like, why the fuck is everybody dragging my husband? Why is that? And she's like, how is he taking advantage of our dad? And Charlie says the stupidest comeback. How's he not?
And Libby says, you get mad at him when he's not working. And then now that he's working, you still have an issue with him. And that's when Becky jumps in and says, look,
he's a manipulator.
He's a manipulator. And you are two-faced. And y'all, all of this has to do is Libby is the favorite and he's not.
It really is. You're exactly right. It breaks it down to that all the kids know Libby is the one that gets away with things.
Yeah.
Libby is the one who he just paid for two weddings
for,
and they're still butthurt about it because they didn't get enough. From Chicago. Because they didn't get enough love in their childhood.
Yep.
That's why. I also said this is the worst production of August Osage County I've ever seen.
Worst production ever. Y'all.
Eat the fish. So then they start fighting. It's the worst production.
This is Hillsborough County. Because that's where Tampa is. It becomes a very Jerry Springer screaming match. We couldn't even get it all. But there's some great gabs that Libby gets. Like, she says, like, you don't talk to my husband that way. She says to Becky, this is how you know that Libby knows she's a favorite. She says to Becky at one time, you're just a jealous bitch.
Yeah.
And that sends Becky off.
Yeah.
Libby ends up going after her. And she's saying, you don't talk to my husband in front of me. She goes and attacks Becky.
Attacks her.
And she starts kind of breaking down and screaming and crying. She's like, he has done nothing.
She's like, cry, Libby.
Cry like you always cry to daddy when I had to give up my Barbies to you. Like, literally, this is what this is about, y'all.
Yeah.
It's about this childhood stuff. But Libby is like, he's done nothing to you. And then she says the worst thing. She says to Becky, she's like, just go sit with your rich husband. And that's when Libby threw her drink at Becky.
That she also says something about your, like, your rich husband or something like your rich husband
who takes care of you because you don't do anything.
Yeah.
And that's when she throws her drink at her. And then Becky throws it back. And it
gets crazy. Then Chuck goes.
Oh, and Libby says,
what's even going on?
He's like, stop this. But before, Libby says, you act like you're fucking money, but you aren't.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Libby said all what we've been raging about with this family. And this is why, y'all, I think it really is funny. Like, I like Libby and Andre. I don't have a problem with them. Her family is so gross to me, but I feel like Libby and Andre.
I don't really like them.
They're transactional, but I feel like they see it as it is. Whereas the rest of their family act like their shit don't stink.
I think those two know exactly what they're doing.
I definitely would not want to be like in a movie where in a murder mystery or like a movie where everyone's dying. I would not want to be in that movie with Libby and Andre because they would kill me first.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, so basically, you guys, the fighting stops and then they're like everyone's upset and Chuck is like, "I'll get rid of the family business if it's going to be like this."
And they all go, "What? No, he won't.
And you're still going to pay my mortgage."
Yeah. Y'all, he won't do that because he loves his money.
Loves sitting on top. Y'all, please tell me you've seen that meme of Chuck's face posted on Butter's body.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. And Libby says, "I'm not going to do this RV trip." And she says, "Lines have really been crossed. And I don't know if things can be repaired."
Oh, she's definitely going on the RV trip, by the way. She's definitely going on the RV trip.
That's all I have.
That's the show.
Oh, this was such a good... I really like this episode.
Looking back, I can agree with you. I just don't think I'm a fan of Happily Ever After.
It's got to be... You know why it's better to me? And I hope it keeps going this way. Like, we've been doing this dance of like... of people not acknowledging what's going on underneath.
Yeah.
And at least for Libby and Andre, and at least for Mike and Natalie, that's all coming out now. And we're finally talking about it. And it feels
next
cathartic.
Week is supposed to get me really nasty.
Yeah. It's like a zip week. Popping. It's like an infected pimple that's finally popping.
Okay. You need to stop watching Dr. Pimple Popper.
I love Dr. Pimple Popper. I want to meet Dr. Sandra Lee so badly. Can't you grow a boil or something on your head and I can take you? I say, "Dr. Lee, fix him. Look at him. He looks like an extra."
I don't have a boil.
I bet you could get one.
Just put one on.
Yeah.
Sir, this is looks like it's taped to your scalp.
Not at all. I just want to meet Dr. Lee. Not at all. Anyway.
That's the show. Y'all, you can find us at realitygazepodcast.com.
You
can find us on our Insta. Y'all, follow us on our Insta. You can get to see the foodie call stuff that we're going to... I made fuck soup.
He did. Reality Gaze Podcast is our Instagram. Reality Gaze Pod is our Twitter. And
Don't
forget your camera. Y'all, I have to say...
You can tweet it.
I'm not going to go into it long. But I saw a cameo where Poodle has a new Australian Peloton rider as a cameo. And the funniest part about it is that he's actually riding the bike while he's doing it. And about halfway through, he can't talk anymore because it's too much to do. And it's one of the...
Didn't really see that coming.
Watching Poodle trying to do a Peloton while doing the... Please subscribe. It's one of the best
creepy shoulders.
It's one of the best things I've ever seen. Bravo.
What
Bravo,
did I call
queen.
Her? Like Sally Ryder or something like that. Sally Ryder.
You're going to have to watch it and see.
She's the first Aussie Peloton instructor.
Also, y'all, you can check us out. You can check us out on Cameo if you want your Father's Day cameo. I just did one today. We're happy to do that. And other than that, y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely, lonely hearts, Poodle, looking for love in all the wrong places?
Yes. What? I forgot what we said on this.
Oh, my God.
I think... hit me up one more time.
You know what? I'm going to finish this. If you're on a fucking yacht and it's actually just a tugboat and someone brings out a veggie tray from Kroger and you just want to hit them in the throat,
call us.
Poodle, I need to talk to you about something that happened at our New York live show.
The lying designer said it was his first time and that his wife didn't care.
No, Poodle. It's just that people are talking about your outfit from the show.
Oh, yes. My corset that I bought online that was specially made for my body. It accentuated my creamy shoulders and gave me a waist cinched for the gods.
Well, also, I don't know how to say this.
But some sissy said their male husbands noticed your...
Caboose? Men flock to my posterior. It makes sense.
No, the other side. They noticed your junk.
Oh, my.
And apparently there was some jealousy. I can't believe I'm talking about this. But some men said you looked very junk forward, and some male sissies in the audience were a little jealous.
Well, they should be. I bring the heat. Well, if I'm honest, Maddie, I've got a little secret.
Oh, I know you banged the guy that organizes your building's trash bins.
How dare you mention Orlando? I can neither confirm nor deny. No, Maddie, I mean, those male sissies don't need to be jealous at all. Well, maybe a little jealous. But they, too, can be junk-forward like me. My secret is that I wear the contoured pouch and ball caddy from MeUndies.
The contoured pouch and ball caddy?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy. Not only is MeUndies underwear comfortable and breathable, but it also makes my junk look huge!
MeUndies, who knew?
Yes, and MeUndies has looks for all types of people. From all black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small through 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
Oh, and I do know that MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Their lounge collection is incredible, featuring joggers, hoodies, and onesies, and more. And it is unmatched comfort because MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
Well, not only are they cozy, but MeUndies uses sustainably sourced materials and works with partners that care for their workers. And if you're not happy with your first pair of MeUndies, it's on MeUndies.
Well, Poods, now that I'm living the single life like Nuttley, I need to advertise. I'm getting some MeUndies.
I don't want to hear about your sex life on the podcast. Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.